What is up, today's Today community? Hope y'all are having a phenomenal, phenomenal day. My name is Colton Trout, the founder and CEO of the Today's Today community, here to help you crush your goals more consistently by crushing them on a daily basis. If you like the sound of that, make sure you smash that subscribe button. Go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening, and make sure to share with a friend because sharing is caring, of course. If you're not sharing with friends, then I don't know what you're doing. And I don't know why you're on this podcast, because we share with our friends here on this podcast. But y'all, we have been interviewing a lot of high level of entrepreneurs. We have been interviewing a lot of thought leaders, people that are getting into their industry and are shaking it up, people that are stepping into entrepreneurship and are just starting their journey. And then we're interviewing people that have been in it for like 20 plus years, like our last guest. Y'all, we have got another amazing guest today. His name is Bert Lee. Bert, why don't you go on and introduce yourself, y'all? Just fun fact, he's coming in from Minnesota and I'm down here in Texas, and we're going to talk a little bit of weather that's not entrepreneurship, but we're going to talk about it. But stay tuned because we have some amazing things that we're going to be talking about. But Bert, why don't you go on and introduce yourself?
Yes, Cohen, thanks for having me on. And let's talk about weather, please. Minnesota's weather has not been good. But my name is Bert Lee. I'm a speaker and I'm also a creative business coach. I speak to college students, high school students, and college prep programs on thought leadership, vulnerability, and entrepreneurship, because students need to learn what that looks like. And when it comes to my coaching side, I design brands that people love for entrepreneurs and business owners, making sure that they're showing up and they're pivoting their business into a brand so that people can find them more loyal and also really identify the business that is also part of them when they purchase a service from them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then from chatting with you too, this is your first year inside of like full-time entrepreneurship. So you left your dream job and stepped full-time into entrepreneurship, which you've been doing for the past couple of years. Why don't you talk about that really quick? What was that like final straw? Like, I'm diving in, this is what I'm doing full-time now.
Yeah. So my dream job, I was a graphic designer. So I worked in advertising for 7 years. I worked for big brands like Target, General Mills, Walmart, mostly in the Midwest. And I focused on food photography. So I did a lot of art direction, food packaging, banners. I did a lot of branding for brands and advertising. And that was my dream job because I went to school for 4 years to do that. And then eventually, some part of me, I always knew that I wanted to be more than just a designer. I wanted to own my business one day, but I didn't know what that was. So within my 7 years in advertising, I was also like on the side freelancing to small business owners, but I was just only creating logos. And I was also hosting public speaking workshops. And I was also invited to be guest speakers to talk about careers and how I got to where I am today as a professional designer. So I was dabbling in that a little bit, but it wasn't until I hit my year 5 in my career where I was like, I'm starting to hate my job. I'm starting to hate the mundane work of like, I got to do fast turnarounds. I got this project is due next week. This project is due tomorrow. And every time I hear those, I'm like, I just dread it. But when I leave work and I go talk to students or when I help small businesses, I actually enjoy it. So I actually thought I was hating design, but the thing was I didn't hate design. I just hate the system within advertising. So then the 7 year mark, I was like, you know what? This is it. I gotta leave. I've built a good freelance list. I have enough impact in the community. Even though I have no clients lined up, I was, you know what? I feel like I could do this and I'm just gonna do it. I feel like I have prepared myself enough. If I keep saying I'm going to wait until I get like 5 clients or I make $10,000 like a month, I'm never going to do it because that is like very impossible. Working a full-time job and trying to start a business, you will not have a great life. I tried that, bad relationships and stuff. So I finally was like, you know, I got to do it. And I did it now. So that's the high concept level of how I left my dream job as a graphic designer, because I was really passionate about talking to students on vulnerability and thought leadership, but like how to lead in your life and around people. And then really, I enjoyed talking to small business owners because they don't have that knowledge like the big guys do, like Target and Walmart. They have billions of dollars to spend, but small business, they only have $500. So I want to do my best to help there. So that's the transition of like I want to make bigger impacts to the smaller guys so that they can make bigger impacts on their end.
Love it. Love it. It's taken that leap of faith. You know, you hit, nailed it right there when he said it's like, I can't do the full-time job and then to be like, oh, I got to make like $10,000 before I do this. Or I got to like 5 clients before I do this. And it's like, that will never come unless it is like, okay, the boats have been burned. There is no going back whatsoever. I am doing this full-time and I'm either going to succeed or I'm going to keep trying until I succeed. There's no failure in it. And, you know, we don't fail as long as we're continuously trying and continuously putting in that effort. And then, you know, as a good old Yoda saying, there is no try. You either do or you do not. Absolutely love that. So talking about branding, right? This is one thing, especially for entrepreneurs and business owners, they just don't understand the weight of what a brand really does. Because they like get in there and like, oh, well, like I'm my brand. And I was like, yes, there may be an aspect to that, especially if it's a personal brand. But your company has to have a brand, and that brand awareness, which gets embodied in your marketing and embodied in your social media, embodied in your website and embodied in your logo and every aspect of your business, is really crucial. And too many people are just like, well, I thought this looked nice, but it doesn't align with anything within the brand. And it's super confusing. Like they'll get like one product and it'd be like, oh, that's really cool. And they get another product and it's like, oh, this is from the same person. I had no clue. And it's like, that's where branding comes in. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs really miss that mark. So when you're coaching entrepreneurs and business owners and branding, what are a few key mistakes that you're seeing that they're making?
Cohen, I've talked to so many clients and I worked with so many clients where they have one common misconception on branding. They think that branding gets them fast results in 2 weeks, in 1 month, in 1 year. Branding is a long-term investment. And they also think that branding is marketing and advertising. So I always shift their mindset first. Branding is not a quick make money scheme or object that you take to make money. Branding is not ads, it's not marketing. Branding is part of that. And also, branding is not about flashy graphics and a nice logo. That plays a part, but that is not what entirely it is. Well, the core of branding first is it starts with, the number one tip is that they think branding is logo design and nicey graphics. But I tell them, no, that's wrong. That's part of it. But branding is really how you show up, meaning it's as simple as, what do you sound like? What's your brand voice? When people see you, what do they see you? What's that one phrase that people can ask from you? For example, Nike is just do it. Airbnb is you belong anywhere. That's a simple part to branding. Branding is all these aspects, but it has to start with how you sound and how you show up. Because I tell my clients, people don't care about your logo. They're not going to go around telling their friends, oh my God, did you see Cohen's logo is so cool? Da, da, da. They don't do that. Instead, they care about your brand. They go around talking about your brand. They talk about how amazing your podcast is. They talk about how amazing the service you provide. Like when we go to Walmart, we don't talk about how crazy Walmart's logo is. We talk about how maybe Walmart has nice customer service, which, you know, that's a bad example because the story is going around, but that was the first thing to pop up. But it's like that. People talk about brands. They don't talk about logos. So I tell them that, and I also tell them that most mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, I know that they do when they talk to me, is that they've already spent at least $500 to $2,000 on a logo, because a logo is that shiny object like a car. You see it, you're so happy, you're excited to share. But once you share it a year later, you're probably going to get over it. And also, if I see your nice logo, but I come talk to you of like why you have that logo or like what's your business, you're going to struggle because you didn't do your homework. You didn't focus on your brand first. So I always tell my clients, and the number one tip is focus on your logos and graphics last. You got to do the homework. You got to find your brand, your insight, your audience, your voice, your purpose. Once you have all that set, it's going to make your logo design so much easier. It's going to make the designer understand who you are exactly. And like you mentioned, a marketing plan a lot easier compared to you just saying, hey, I just want to advertise this, but I don't know why, and I don't know the brand of it. So I always shift their perspective, like, you got to do your logos and graphics last. It's just kind of like writing an essay. If I don't know when the last thing you wrote one, but sometimes when you finish your essay, you come up with a better title, because if you get a logo, it might hold you to certain truths that you can get out of. You might get stuck in one spot too much.
Yeah, it's one of those things I heard. So I was watching, scrolling through TikTok the other day, and I saw this influencer that asked this question on a panel. And they were talking about social media, and they were talking about, like, what's the purpose of you, like, posting? And they're like, oh, to promote my brand. And they're like, oh, well, you just need to post more. And it's like, you missed it. You totally missed the whole point of the question. Like, first and foremost, like, why are you posting? It's not just to promote a brand. It's to answer a question that your brand will answer. And so I teach this system called the PVC, purpose, vision, and character. If we know those three things, one, we can make any decision in our business in the snap of the fingers, because it outlines, really, in essence, our brand and what we stand for. So what is the purpose of the company or the organization or the products? What is the vision long-term for the company, the products, or the individual? What is the character that business or product or service or individual wants to be portraying to the world? It's when we know those three things, we can start making decisions pretty quickly. But a lot of that boils down to brand voice, brand core values, brand story. All of that is so much more important than the logo, because like you said, it's like they're not going around and be like, man, that was a nice logo.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, so I own a couple of companies, and I mean, like, I don't think I've ever heard somebody be like, wow, that logo's nice.
Right.
Kind of funny that you mentioned, really cool that you mentioned that you've done a lot of food advertising. So I own an alcohol infused cake business that actually ships nationwide. And that's one of the biggest things that we're always trying to, like, do is be like, okay, we've got these cakes. Like, how do we, like, brand this? And, like, how do we move that forward and advertise and all that kind of fun jazz? But so we have our logo that's on top of each of our boxes. And it's so funny. We get these grandmas that will come to the farmers markets and different events, and they'll see them as like, oh, what flavor is this rum cake escape? And then they're like, are they all the same flavor? Because they all have, like, the same logo on the top. And it's like, nope, that's the name of the company. That's the logo.
And oh, that's funny.
Really funny. And then, like, we open it up and they see, like, the flavor and the actual, like, product, and they're just like, oh, that's so cool. But it's like, we're never having somebody sit there and be like, wow, that's a really nice logo. Like, they want to know more about it past just the logo. So that, I think that's spot on when it comes to entrepreneurs. Like, they see.
I do want to add to the only time that I know that you will get compliments from about your logos is if you run into a designer. They're going to be like, that's a really nice logo. But that's it. That's because we appreciate logo designs.
It's like, I know what it took to put into that logo. Yeah, no. When I was designing my coaching logo, I think I probably spent 20 hours on that logo, pulling different pieces of logos and kind of putting everything together and completely customizing it. But yeah, I don't think I've ever had a single person I've had people, when I show them, like, our pop sockets and, like, the different, like, merch that has it on there, like, oh, that's cool. But then like, stops pretty much right there. So, and then once they find out more of, like, the story of how it came about and, like, the story of the brand, then they're just like, wow, they want to follow everything. So that's definitely spot on. How important is it when you're talking about brand, for the entrepreneur to also be talking about vulnerability within their business and why they're doing their business? Do you see that kind of pop up at all?
Yeah. A lot of the times, the entrepreneurs that I work with, they think that when they are building a brand for their business, that they are creating for a whole different entity. For example, if you sell your rum cakes, right? That may be separate from you. So you might feel like, oh, it's hard to personalize or brand a business that lives on its own. But where the vulnerability comes is, I kind of, like, a lot of people have this hesitation of not wanting to relate to that business. So I tell them that, hey, you know, every aspect of your business stems from you somewhere and somehow. So for the beginners of entrepreneurship, or even you've been doing for a while, is what is your core values? And eventually you can just turn your core values into a we. For example, I believe in leadership and creativity. And then if you want to build a team for a business, then you just start changing I to we believe in this, we believe in this. Because then when you build your team, they are coming in, you want to hire them because they believe in your business value. But really, at the end of the day, that actually comes back to you. So a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs, they get stuck because they feel like they have to create a whole persona for something that doesn't exist. So a lot of people hesitate there. But then I tell them, hey, it doesn't have to be that hard. Let's just make it you. And we slowly transition that language into we and into your business. And that's when you can start finally thinking as like a third person looking at the individual. So a lot of the time, this hesitation again, because the vulnerability comes in where like, oh, but I have never looked at my values, or I'm just a simple person. And like, well, then I had to ask you why I call it beautiful questions. Like, why is this important to you? What's your value when it comes to relationships? And they will always say, what does this have to do with business? I'm like, well, if your relationship value is really good with your people, then we take that same value to your business, because business is relationship-based as well, because those are going to be for your customers. And so I just have to bridge those two different connections so that they're not thinking about two different worlds, but one first, and then transition that to their business world. Because the vulnerability there too is that they feel like they have to think of two worlds, themselves and in their business. But then really it's just you, and then how can we turn that, once we have you set, cross that bridge to the business side?
Absolutely. It's really kind of funny. I've coached a couple other coaches, and it's always entertaining when they're getting started in their coaching, like just business, and they start getting some clients and start working with them. And then they come back and they're like, Colton, we're talking about so much personal shit. And I'm just like, yeah, that's business. Like, our business life and our personal life are not two completely separate entities. Like, when you are a solo entrepreneur or a young entrepreneur or someone that's just getting started in your business and you don't have a team or you don't have a corporation, it is very much one and the same. If something is going on in your personal life, it is going to affect your business life. And if you are a coach, like, you have to be able to bridge that gap between the personal life and the business life. And a lot of the time it's helping them understand, it's like, hey, it's okay that we bring this personal life into the business life, because it's actually going to make your business life a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. And you'll actually enjoy it a lot more, because you're going to quit resisting and quit putting up these boundaries that are not healthy, because society was like, oh, you have to have like the strict separation. It's like, this isn't a job. This is your life and this is your business. You don't live to work, you work to live. So it's always really cool when I'm coaching like new entrepreneurs and or new coaches specifically, and they're like, we're talking about so much personal stuff. Like, yeah, you're going to. That does not stop.
Very true.
For over 3 years. And we took his business from going from like $5,000 a month to doing like $65,000 a month. And there were still several sessions where we'd get into it. And he was like, man, okay, I just need to talk about some personal stuff that's going on in my life. And I was like, all right, bring it on. Let's do it. But then we're always circling back into, okay, how is this affecting your business? How is this affecting your brand? How is this affecting how you're showing up within your role as a leader and as a trainer and as an entrepreneur and as a business owner and for your clients and your customers and the whole nine yards? But
Love that.
Yeah, you're probably all too familiar with that. Okay, we're gonna talk about some personal stuff, and it's like, yep, mm-hmm. It's gonna be awesome though. So I love how you called that beautiful questions. Talk a little bit more about that. What are some of your favorite like beautiful questions that you like to ask?
I don't have specific questions, but I have words that entice the beautiful questions. Meaning, I always ask what, how, and when. I think why, the word why has really great questions, but sometimes it can also be very victim blaming the way you ask it. So I try to avoid it when I can. So I always ask, what is the problem that you're trying to solve? Okay, you tell me, okay, how do you think you're going to solve it? And then they answer it. And then last, I ask, when do you think this is going to happen? So basically, of course, you know, as a coaching technique, we plant the seeds. We don't ever try to give them the answers if we know it. So me, beautiful questions is really asking what, how, and when. Because instead of saying why, you can literally replace what, how, and when to any questions and just listen, and they will like solve it themselves. And it's amazing. Even if they take a moment to pause, because they need to think, like they need to process things. So that's why I call beautiful question is asking, what is it that you're struggling with? How do you think I'm going to help? Or how do you think doing that is going to help? Okay, when do you think you can get it done? Or when do you think you will recover from, you know, this a problem that you have? So just starting like that, then they will also give like beautiful questions too.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That is really kind of true. There's a unique distinction between a coach and a consultant, right? A coach is going to help you discover the answer. A consultant's going to give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, it's really kind of funny. People always ask me, it's like, well, why are you a coach and not just a consultant? It's like, I'm a coach that occasionally consults because there are going to be times when somebody just has no clue about the answer and I have to give the answer, right? I'm going to coach them to getting there, but if they can't just get there, I'm just going to be like, okay, here's the answer. Now let's go figure out how that's going to implement into your business, right? But the reason that I do more coaching versus consulting is because when a consultant leaves, 9 times out of 10, they still need that consultant. They still need the next consultant and then the next consultant and then the next consultant. When a coach leaves, it should be a very different experience. It's really kind of funny. I had one coaching client and I was like, all right, well, we're kind of wrapping up with your coaching. And he's like, what? And I was like, yeah, like you're ready to go do. Like you don't need to meet with me every single week. And I actually, like, it was a very beautiful, like mutual kind of thing. But I was the one that kind of initiated it. And I was like, you can stop paying me now. And he was like, what? Like, I was not expecting this. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, you're ready to take full leadership inside of your business, inside of your life, because I've been teaching you this stuff for the past several years. We're now getting into our coaching sessions and it's no longer me asking questions. I don't have to say anything. I just look at you and you answer everything for you, because that's the whole point of coaching, is for me to help you understand how to get to the answer on your own, because you already have the answer. 9 times out of 10, you already have the answer. And so it's a really cool thing with coaching versus guiding that person to finding those answers and being like, let's ask more questions and let's help you get there, versus like, oh, I'm just going to give it to you. And then next week you're going to have to come back to me to get it again. There's that.
Yeah. And I love that. I love how you share that. Yes. I totally agree with that too.
Yeah. So, okay. So in closing, like, I love asking this question, and I sometimes put people on the spot. So y'all, if you are listening to this podcast, make sure to share, make sure to hit that subscribe button, go leave a 5-star review. If you have been around this podcast for a while, you know the question that I'm about to ask. But for those that are new, just know this is a question that I ask these individuals that are coming on and being interviewed on this show live. This is not something that I've told them about. This is not something that they have thought about in the past. So this is completely like live asking them this question. But in closing, I always like to ask the question of, what are 2 pieces of advice? One that you absolutely love to give. And then the second one is a little bit harder to give, but people really need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. I actually didn't get a chance to think about it. The first one is that there will come a point in your life where you will need to ask for help. I'm not talking about help meaning, can you help me do this with my project? Can you help me design this? But help meaning 10xing your life 10x, whether you're hiring a life coach or coach, a business, you are investing a certain amount of money or investment that's so big that you're scared of, that you need to ask for help. And I say that because I was depressed for about 3 years, and I was very prideful and egotistic, so I never asked for help. But then when life hit hard, I'm like, okay, I need to ask for help. And so I hired a life coach for a year, and I got so much better. So that's my number one advice, is there will come a point in time where you will need to ask for help. So ask for help. Put aside any pride you have, any ego you have, and ask for help. And again, even though I say it might not, it doesn't be the smallest one, but even if it's the smallest one too. So ask for help. And number two is, I wish I want to, I want to push on this more, and it sounds contradictory, but the phrase is, do it now and figure it out later. Because so many people have excuses of not doing it now because of this, 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 and this. And if you think about it, it's always just excuses, unless it's like a very big reason why. But do it now and figure out later is a mindset where if you are like 3% prepared out of like 10, then just do it. And anything that you do, you will figure out later, because you will be, you will then be like forced to figure out later. And you think about a lot of business people, corporations, big corporations, they do that. That's why it's so hard to communicate to the top line, is they just say yes, and they're like, okay, now I gotta go hire people to do this. So do it now and figure it out later.
I absolutely love that. You know, that is embodying the today's the day theme. It's today's the day dot, dot, dot. You get to fill in the blank and you get to create whatever you want to do. But y'all, that's, man, I just love it. I want y'all to sit on that. If you need to rewind the podcast, go listen to that a couple more times, write it down, and just meditate and sit with that. What would your life look like if you started doing it now and figuring it out later? If you started taking that level of action, if you started taking that level of intentionality with the movement that you're embarking on a daily basis, if you looked at your business and you said, you know what, I'm going to do it now. I know what I should be doing. I don't know exactly how I'm going to be doing it, but I'm just going to start doing it and I'll figure it out later. Imagine what your business would look like. That's absolutely awesome. Bert, thanks so much for coming on the show. Absolutely appreciate you. Y'all, once again, if you have not, go leave a 5-star review, go smash that subscribe button. All of Bert's information and links are going to be down below as well. So make sure to go give him a follow, go check him out, go see what he's working on and doing. But Bert, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Claire.